Hey, welcome to the Soul Gym.
We are your Soul Gym sisters. I'm Jody Van Kempen.
And I am Crystal Van Kempen McClanahan. And thank you for tuning in for this week's Boot Camp for Your Soul. Hey, it's our mission to tone up flabby thinking and develop mental muscle. Why? So that you can feel strong, live healthy, and fulfill God's audacious plan for your awesome life. So, Jody, what's up this week?
You know what? I've got a question for everyone out there. How do you see your world? Do you look at it as an adventure? Is it filled with an abundance of opportunity, money, and love?
Ooh.
Or does life feel tedious? Does it feel small? Do you feel caged in?
Yeah.
Are you jockeying your bills around?
Yeah.
Making a beeline for the sales rack? Feeling like your relationships have fallen apart, they're strained, they're breaking apart.
Ooh. So what we're talking about this week is a matter of mindset. Man, we're always talking about mindset, but we're talking about, do you have an abundance or scarcity mindset? And I don't know if you guys know, Jody and I sit here for what, an hour or two? I mean, we meet earlier in the week to talk about, you know, the podcast, and we sit here for hours just talking about, you know, life before we
that
even...
That should be our podcast, conversation.
We should just turn it on and start talking. But so we've really been digging deep into this abundance versus scarcity mindset, and I think one of the earlier times that I heard about this was from Stephen Covey in his 7 Habits that so many of you are familiar with. And he talks about a scarcity mindset is that zero sum paradigm of life, that there's never enough. And if we have a zero sum paradigm of life, that means if you win, I lose. He talks about it being a pie, that people with a scarcity mindset see life as a pie. And if you get too big a slice, hey, guess what? That leaves less for me. People with a scarcity mindset have a very difficult time being happy for other people's success. And it's really all limitations, you know, based in fear.
Well, the Bible really talks against small thinking. Paul is talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13 in the Message Bible. I'm going to read that to you and listen to what God thinks about small and big thinking. He says, Dear Corinthians, I cannot tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. Now, just stop and think about a wide open, spacious life. What does that look like? If you were to look at your own life and go, I want a wide open, spacious life. I've been thinking about sitting there going, what is a wide open, spacious life for me? You know, to me, it means freedom.
Yeah.
To me, it does mean adventure. It means being able to do what I want to do. It's not holding on and afraid that I'm going to lose something or lose somebody.
Right.
And he goes on to say, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel, now listen to this one, the smallness you feel comes from within you. So there's this wide open, spacious life, and then there's this smallness that comes from the inside of us. He's making a great statement there. I want you to live a wide open, spacious life, but there is a smallness. Do you ever feel small on the inside? I have. I have felt small. I have felt squeezed.
Shrinking
yes,
back. Yeah.
Yes. I have felt intimidated. I have felt timid. I have felt like, you know, I don't have what it takes to go and attack life and do what I want to do. So he says, the smallness you feel is not coming from outside, but it's coming from the inside of you. Now, he's talking to us too. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small. Now, I like to take scripture and just break it into pieces and just look at each individual phrase. Now, listen to that. Your lives aren't small. Crystal and I are here to say your life is not small.
Right.
But you are living them in a small way. Now, how do we do that? I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. I love you guys, he said. Open up your lives. This is what you do. You open up your lives, live openly and expansively. It's stop saying, okay, I'm gonna protect myself. I can't do that. There's no way. He said, now open up, start looking around, start seeing what's possible, and start believing you can live that way.
See, we talk about, once again, is all about limiting beliefs.
Yes.
It's the beliefs that were put into yep. you as a child. And we talk about a scarcity mindset, and it's easy to think only about money.
Yeah.
And it can be a scarcity of anything, a scarcity of time, a scarcity of emotion, a scarcity of, you know, that's affecting your relationships. But let's look at money, since that's just an easier one at times to wrap our head around. When you think about your childhood, did you ever hear statements like money doesn't grow on trees, you know? And how many times did you want something and your parents said, well, we just can't afford that? I'm telling you, those scarcity statements were placed, and now they're deeply entrenched in our subconscious. And it's another thing. We're here to say this is not what God wants for our lives. And in order to start living bigger and opening up our life, we've got to shift from a scarcity mentality to an abundance mentality. And on the flip side, when Stephen Covey is talking about scarcity, he also talks about abundance. And abundance, he says, flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth or security. You know, there's a belief in abundance thinking that there's just plenty to go around. There's enough to spare for everyone. There's not just one pie. You know, there's pies all over the place. And so abundance thinking is big. And it compounds. And like you were saying, Jody, it's about freedom. You know, not being fenced in, not shrinking back, but having fun. And it's so appealing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see somebody, man, they've got a twinkle in their eye and they're just going for it. Shift. We can get rid of those childhood stories that were created around scarcity when we understand how much God wants for us.
That's just it. When you are a born-again Christian, and you spend time with God, oh man, and you get to know him, he's a really big God. I mean, when you think about it, he created the heavens and the earth. He put the stars in the sky. He put the ocean on the earth. He created the mountains. He created the rivers. I mean, he did it all. He spoke this world into being. And the Bible says he lives on the inside of you and me. So for us to have any limitations on our lives, guess what? To me, is just wrong. The Bible also said, all things are possible to him who believes. That's what I'm saying. Okay, you might not be there yet. You might not be living your ideal. You might not be free in every area. But you know where it starts? In your thought life.
Right.
You know, when I want something and there are things just not working in my life and I feel trapped, I feel irritated, I feel like nothing's changing, what I've started to do or I have been doing is I just get in a chair and I start thinking about him. And I start opening up my heart and mind and I start letting him talk to me. And when you start focusing in the spiritual world and you see how limited we are here in this physical world, but all of a sudden heaven starts coming to you and God starts opening up the possibilities in your life. Stop looking around at the physical world. You are going to be limited by what you can see, by what you can touch, by all those things. Let God speak to your heart and mind and show you the possibilities in your life. It's endless.
Right. And so why is it so important to live in an abundance mentality versus a scarcity mentality? It's because a scarcity mentality, like you said, it's so limiting. It's so tedious. It does not make life enjoyable at all. So here are some signs if you are living a scarcity mentality? First of all, do you find yourself comparing? I think that's kind of, you know, like at the beginning, you just start looking around. Yeah.
Bugged.
Yeah, you're a bit annoyed. You are looking at your neighbor's new car, and you don't have a new car. You start to it begins to affect your self-esteem, who you, your identity that we always talk about. You know, it's starting to reveal some things that are deeply entrenched in there. And so when we start to compare, something else begins to happen. They're almost simultaneous, is we lack gratitude. Uh-huh. We talk about gratitude being a key to a changed life. But when we just have a scarcity mindset, we just don't appreciate what we have. Jody, before we got on air, you said you were just sitting around thinking and starting to name, and just in this in the last couple of weeks, and God did this and God did that. And he was basically saying to you, don't forget.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you're goal driven and motivated, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, going for your future and going for your dreams, there is a trap to be so focused on going after what you want that all your energy is just, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen, that you tend to forget everything that has happened.
Yeah.
You know, you go, I'm going to fix this. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. And it's exciting and it's woo, woo, woo. But God said, don't forget what I've done, because we can get lost in the future. We can get lost in what we're believing for. We can get lost in...
Yeah, because we're all about vision and goals, but you still have today.
Yeah, you stop yourself once in a while and go, look, I said to Crystal, look what God has done. And I just started listing. He did this for me. He did this for me. And just this warm sense of affection for God. See, and if you stay in that place, God will give you more. But if you forget, the Bible says all the time, don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget, because we're always seem to be on to the next thing. Okay, great, that happened. Okay, what's next? So stop yourself and go, God, oh, I appreciate what you've done. Yeah.
So we can fall into comparison and then we're ungrateful, exactly what we're saying. And then there's a poison that can start to infect our lives, and it's called envy. Mm-hmm. When God tells us to love our neighbor, when God says, you know, to love me and love people, I mean, love is what activates the faith in our life, what allows these things to be happening. But what does envy do? We start looking around and we start to want now what our neighbor has. We're not happy for them. And if we're not careful, envy turns that love into actual hate. And so when there's envy and strife in our life, there is utter chaos. And so we've got to be very careful. I mean, if you even feel a prick of that envy, get it out of your life. Start praying for your neighbor. Be grateful. God, way to bless them. Yep. I mean, turn that. Don't allow that poison into your life. I mean, it's very dangerous. And so other things can happen. It's so interesting what scarcity and that mindset does, is it can really show itself in excuses. And I mean, think about it. A scarcity mindset really does crave success. They want success so bad, but they end up sabotaging themselves. That's what limiting beliefs do. They end up sabotaging the very thing. You know, the scarcity mindset type of person can really talks a big game.
Yeah.
You know, they just talk and talk and talk. But because of that smallness, you know, they're faking it on the outside, but they really feel small in the inside. So that limits any risk that they're going to take. And then what happens? They become the victim.
Yeah.
A scarcity mindset really has a victim mentality. And now you're ticked that they have your success.
And the scripture, like I read, Paul said, we didn't fence you in.
Yeah.
No one is stopping your success. God said, if I be for you, no man can stand against you. The smallness, like Crystal just said, The smallness you feel is on the inside of you. No excuses.
No excuses. Go for it.
Yep.
You can do this. And then there's this illusion that ends up, you know, falling on people. And that is that they can become very controlling, you know. And what an illusion. We can control nothing. But this is a very difficult type of boss to have. You know, it sets up all kinds of factions. I mean, it really breaks down vision and mission. And there's nothing that you can control other than your own thinking. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing you've got. Another thing that starts to happen in that scarcity mentality, and that's a type of hoarding. And I think oftentimes when we hear that because of that show, we think of people just, you know, packing their houses with stuff. And maybe that's so, but we're also talking on a interesting, much smaller scale, like the trial size scale, where you hoard or take a bunch of shampoos, you know, those little shampoos from, you know, the Holiday Inn or wherever you're staying.
Oh, think about it. Why do you need those?
I know.
They're like 0.2 ounces.
Yep. And well, I'm going to take them on the airplane.
Is that?
I think so.
No, you're thinking, if mine runs out, and I somehow don't have any, I can use, if we run out somehow and there's a scarcity of shampoo in the world, I'll have this backup. Or these sugar packets.
Stop stealing sugar packets.
Sugar packets and salt and pepper packets. You've always got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Yeah. If you are stealing the packets from restaurants, well, first of all, you're stealing, and that's a sin. No stealing. And then why am I doing this? Because I'm always preparing for that rainy day, for the bottom to fall out and the economy, and we're stockpiled and prepared.
What if? What if? Uh-huh. We talked last week. What if?
Yes.
All about worry. Okay, so again, there are a million, you know, things that can come from a scarcity mentality, but I think one that we don't necessarily think of is this gluttonous type of behavior.
Gluttonous.
You know, we think gluttony is about abundance, and it's really, it can tend to be the opposite. Where, see, scarcity mentality is all about short-term thinking. You know, when you've got an abundance mentality, you've got vision and you believe that, you're excited about the potential. But a scarcity mentality is all about the here and now.
Uh-huh.
It's all about instant gratification. It's all about believing, you know, if I'm going to this buffet, this could be my last meal. And so I'm just going to gorge.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's not just about food, but it could be about spending, you know, overspending. And so what happens when the pressure's on, or when you're starting to feel really bad, you know, about watching your neighbors, you know, get all of their blessings, what starts to happen is you're feeling that pressure, you're feeling awful. And so what can we tend to go do?
Because we know we're not going to have enough.
Yeah.
In the future, God's not going to provide. We're probably going to run out, and there's an expectancy of lack, and bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we do? How do we move from a scarcity to a but, man, I am having the hardest time saying that word. Scarcity versus abundance. We've been saying it. You'll always hear us say it. Get with God.
Yep.
You know, hang out with the abundance of God and understand, find scripture that talks about his abundance. I mean, nothing says who God is like Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Yep.
Guess what? That power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Spirit is alive and well in each of us. Mm-hmm. That is the power. I love it.
Yeah.
God doesn't just say exceedingly, or he doesn't just say abundantly. He uses both words to really express the magnitude of what he wants for each of our lives. We've got to be aware, you guys, that there is an enemy. We have a spiritual enemy. And guess what he's always trying to do? Get us to question everything that God says, get us to look at the problem, to focus on the problem, to worry about the problem. That's what the devil does.
Now think about it. He's always accusing. He's always accusing God to you. And this is a big one where he accuses you. Say you are struggling financially or struggling trying to break out and do what God wants you to do. He's always going to accuse God and go, his word is not true. He's not going to come through for you. Remember in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were hanging out by the tree, which they shouldn't have been, but he came and accused God to them and said, hath God said? This is one of the tools he's always going to use on you. He's always going to make you question, will God really come? If you start to tithe, will God actually meet your every need? And see, faith is you go, yes, he said it. He will provide for me. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving. Start believing that it is God's will for you to live in abundance. Start believing. I mean, even Crystal and I talk about the possibilities all the time in our lives for everything, relationship, finances, everything. And then we go, and God wants even more.
Yeah.
God wants, he, like Crystal just said, above all that we could ask or think. So our little thinking, God wants to challenge it. See, Satan's challenging it all the time.
Right.
But God says, get with me. Listen to the possibilities I'm telling you and block the lies of the enemy going, you're not going to make it. This isn't possible. Whenever you feel that, whenever you hear that, no, that is the enemy lying to you. It's a lie.
Exactly. So get with God. Be aware of the enemy. As we talked just a little bit ago, focus on what you have.
Yeah.
Focus on what you have. Be grateful. I mean, just from the second you wake up, you have a bed and you have covers. And for me, I've got a fan. And I just, I love that. I love that.
A cute little TV in the bedroom.
And a cute little TV. I've got a great little dog. I've got a wonderful husband. Yes. There's so much to be grateful for. When I walk to that fridge and pop that soda in the morning, oh, and that burn just, I am so grateful for that ritual that I have in my life, that I am able to do stuff like that. So really, just start to hone in on the little things. Get an attitude of gratitude. I mean, every single day at the end of the day, I journal, and I have for years, and I will always find something to be grateful for. And so focus on what you have. And so you hear us talking about renewing the mind all the time. This is no different. If you're dealing with scarcity, you've got some old running stories in there. Again, whether they're about money or whether they're about relationships, or there's not enough love to go around, whatever it is, there is a scarcity mentality going on, and you can dig up, find it, find what that story is. You know, money doesn't grow on trees, whatever it is. And I mean, what God can do and what God wants in our lives, we can replace these scarcity thoughts with scripture. We just gave you the most beautiful one in Ephesians 3:20. That's what God wants. So we can start to change our mind by renewing it through the word. And then Jody and I mean, we talk about visualization and writing things down and having a vision board and all of those kinds of things, and show up in your life. See it already done. You know, we've been working on a project, and that's where we're at. We are seeing it already done. And you know what we do, though, you guys, is we place abundant words all around. And so there's this visual cortex, and what you're seeing, it's getting into you. And so I've got this word abundance right here, and I've got this $1 million thing here, and got our vision boards and seeing this vision. And so write down scriptures, write down words that will constantly get into you, abundance. And then Jody, you talk about sowing a seed. Mm-hmm. And that Tony Robbins story, if this just isn't the epitome of being having a wide open mm-hmm. life.
There's a story I just watched on Tony Robbins on YouTube the other day, and I'm sure I'm not going to tell it exactly how he said it, but he was talking about the scarcity mentality that he had in his life. And he was, I think, down to his last $20. I mean, that was it. And it was either fill his car with gas or go eat. And so he said, I remember this buffet, and he goes, it's still there. I think he was in California. Like I said, I don't have all the details, but I think he was in California, and he remembered this buffet about 3 miles from where he was at. And he goes, you know, gas in the car, food. He goes, I'm just going to gorge on food that will hold me over for a day or two. And he goes, and I'll walk there. And so he's got about $20, and the buffet was $5 and something. So he walks 3 miles, he goes, he sits down, and he eats. And as he's eating, he said he noticed this young man, about 11 years old, all dressed up in a suit, and a tall woman that walked in front of him. But he said what struck him was the pure admiration he had towards this lady. He held the door open for her. As they sat down, he listened intently to their conversation, and he said you could tell he just was a wonderful young man. So Tony gets done eating, and he walks over to his table, and he strikes up a conversation with this young boy and said, I notice you're taking your lady out for lunch. And he went, oh, no, it's my mom. You know, this is my mom. And he goes, oh, I see. And he said, you're not taking your mom out for lunch? And he goes, oh, no. So Tony puts his hand in his pocket, and he's got about, you know, $14, $13 left, and puts it on the table. And he goes, oh, yes, you're taking your mom out for lunch. And the boy's eyes got big, and he looks at him. He goes, I can't take that. And he goes, oh, yes, you can. He said, I'm bigger than you. And he, oh, well, thank you. And he said that was all the money he had. He goes, and I knew it was the right thing to do at the time. And he goes, I walked out of the restaurant, and he goes, now think about what I did. I gave my last penny. He goes, now the natural thing would be to go, oh no, what am I going to do now? But he said, instead, I flew out of there on cloud nine, knowing it was the right thing to do. And he said, from that moment on, the scarcity was broken in his life. See, it was on the inside of him. And he said, instead of hoarding it and going, oh no, I can't give this, he gave every penny he had. And he said, what was so fascinating was he got home and opened up his mail, and someone had sent him a check for around $1,000. It was a buddy of his that owed him money. And he said, I don't care what anyone says, that was not a coincidence. He said, I truly believe if I had not given my money, that check wouldn't have come to me. He said, from that moment on, scarcity was broken in my life.
I love that story. Yeah. And so you guys, as we start to close, ask yourself, you see evidence of whether or not you have a scarcity or an abundance mentality. Maybe you have really been fighting off that scarcity mentality. Keep going. It will try to creep back into our lives. And so it is a constant fight to push that back. You guys, if you see a lack of gratitude or envy creeping into your life, get rid of it. God is so good. Get with God. Find that scripture. Continue to renew your mind. Place those fun, abundant words all around your house and on your mirror, wherever you look, so that you see abundance as opposed to scarcity. And your mental muscle challenge for this week is to sow a seed of abundance, whatever it is, whether it's money, time, your talent. God has probably been dealing with you, and you have been, you know, holding on to it way too tight. Let it go and watch your life just open up, live big and expansive. That's what we believe is sow a seed and God will show you a harvest you never even dreamed was possible. So you guys, thanks so much for being a part of the Soul Gym this week. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. Check us out on soulgymsisters.com. Tell every friend on the planet about the Soul Gym. It's just, we believe that God's word and his message is the most life-changing, life-altering message out there.
Five-star review, please.
Please give us a five-star review and reach out on social media. Let us know if there's something we could address that could help you that we haven't addressed yet. Again, we love you and appreciate you. We will catch you next week at the Soul Gym, where we whip flabby thinking into shape and develop mental muscle. Bye.